Well, good morning, and thank you all again for welcoming us so kindly. We are from Indiana in a town called Swayze. We actually live just a few minutes away from there in a little town called Greentown. But, yeah, we've been going to Grace for how long now? 8 years? Yeah, close to 9 years then. But I will kind of start at the beginning of my journey to understanding the Bible rightly divided and dispensationally considered. I think it would be best to start with my grandfather, who is a Baptist preacher in Springfield, Ohio, which is where I was born. He went to Baptist Bible College in Missouri, a fundamental Baptist teaching school at that time, and we grew up, of course, under his pastorship, my father being, you know, a pastor's kid and bringing his children to the church. It was also the school where I was taught up through fifth grade till we moved to Indiana. So I was surrounded by Bible doctrine for much of my youth, and I made a list here of a lot of the things that my grandpa has right and some of the things that he has wrong, now understanding what I know now. What he has always had right that we were raised understanding is the truth of the Trinity. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all being one. That was something that we never doubted, that something that we always were able to grasp. The truth of the Trinity is something that I think really solidified our understanding of who God was to us. Another thing he had right was the assurance of salvation. We were never really afraid of being unsaved after we understood the concept of having been saved by Christ's work. So we placed our faith at a young age, most of us, in the completed work of Christ on the cross, understanding that once we were in God's hand, no one could take us out. And then also he preaches faith without works is the way that you get into the body of Christ. And a lot of these terms he wouldn't really use he wouldn't use those terms, but we understood the concepts in different ways. And I had two brothers that were older than me, and of course, as we grew, we all had our own different ideas and approaches to what we'd been taught as children. Some of the things that he has wrong that we can now look back and take a look at and understand differently is there was always this confusing doctrine of asking for forgiveness after each time we sinned. And so although we knew we couldn't be taken out of God's hand and we were once saved, always saved, there was always this sort of little fear in the back of our mind like, well, we need to make sure that God knows that we're sorry just in case. And so this just-in-case mentality sort of followed me through my whole life, which, I mean, if you think about the whole idea of something that you're doing just in case, it means that your faith isn't fully there. And so understanding what I know now, I would say that I probably was not saved as a child. I probably was unsaved because I didn't know fully how to put my faith in something like that. So, there was a confusing doctrine there, and then also water baptism. Growing up in a Baptist church, you get baptized, and when you are the pastor's grandson, you get baptized on Easter Sunday, which is especially important, apparently, which is what happened to me. So, I was baptized on Easter Sunday, you know, and the death, burial, and resurrection and all, and so everybody was really happy about that, but I never really understood why we had to do that, what it was doing, because it was definitely never preached for salvation. It was preached by my grandfather for the next step in obedience after you're saved, which I think is something, if you came from a Baptist background, a lot of us were told that same thing. And so understanding what we know now, faith alone in Christ's completed work alone means that there is no reason for asking forgiveness every time you sin. Sorrow is there for sure, but understanding fully that those prices have been paid is something that brings that peace which passes understanding. and the whole idea of being washed of your sins in physical water to us now seems ridiculous, understanding that the washing has already been done and it could never have been by clean water for what we are guilty of. And so that's a little bit about my youth. When I was in the sixth grade, so 12, 13 years old, my father got moved to Indiana. His job moved him to Indiana. And that's where we found our next church. My grandfather's church was called Grace Baptist Church. And the next church we found was also called Grace Baptist Church. And we knew it was God sending us there because they had the same hymnals that my grandpa had. So it was a God thing at that time for us. And they taught the exact same stuff, the same confusing doctrines about, you're always saved, nothing can take you out of God's hand, but make sure you ask forgiveness after every sin, and bring your teenage friends so they can be baptized, not for salvation, but for obedience after they understand salvation, So still that same confusion just sort of swirling around in a mire in my teenage brain, not really caring too much to comprehend, and probably not even being able to at that time. I will say that through most of my teen years, there was literally zero Bible reading. I was not interested in studying it. I had grown up in that Baptist church, and I knew what I needed to know. But I did enjoy playing music, and so I started being in Christian bands and preaching the gospel through these Christian bands to all these secular kids who would come to our concerts and things like that. But it was always just so empty. There was never really any substance to what we were teaching. It was just, you got to get right with God, and never really explaining how, because I don't think we really even knew how. But me and my fellow friends constantly, being someone there who was a Christian presence in this secular world. And we thought we were doing good work, and maybe we were, but it was without clarity, and that's for sure. So that was when I was in high school there. I met Justin Johnson, who's the pastor of the church where I attend now. He and I graduated the same year, and at that time he was just like the smartest person I'd ever met. We were both Christians. We didn't really understand, who we were in the world at that time. We were teenagers in high school, so who really knows? We've known each other since 8th, 9th grade. We just sort of fumbled our way through high school, as most kids do, clinging to the teaching of our youth for our source of faith and hope and understanding. But as we grew up, we went separate ways, colleges and families and this kind of thing. And there was this trip that I went on with another friend, a mutual friend in high school. His name's Aaron Hutchinson. He also goes to the church back home. You've probably met him, Steve. We went on this trip to Cedar Point just for fun, and he had this red book called The Basics of Mid-Acts Dispensationalism. And at this point, I was maybe 21, 22. I think it was before we got married. He was kind of talking about it a little bit, and his whole main point at that time was that the Bible had truth in it, and it was sort of a black and white book. It's not just open to free interpretation and just take what you want and pick and choose. And I was of the opinion at that point that this Bible is written by God to me, and I can open up to any verse and take from it what I think God is giving me, And so we really butted heads on that point quite a bit. He's my best friend. He's definitely like a brother to me, and we were really not seeing eye to eye on this situation. So it caused a little problem there for a little bit, but ultimately it wasn't really that important to me. He can believe what he believes, and I can believe what I believe, and it doesn't really matter that much because we're all going to the same heaven. That's kind of where that landed. I didn't really talk to him about it much after that, but I knew he had started going to a house Bible study led by Justin, and I was like, that's kind of weird, I don't want to be a part of that, So we continued not going to church, basically. But then I got married to my wife, who grew up Quaker. I don't know a whole lot about that background, you know, being brought up in it. But from what I understand, they're kind of an Acts 2 position. They didn't practice the things like communion like we did and the baptism like we did. Everything was more on a spiritual level for them. And very good-natured people, always willing to help and do works in the community. And that's how they showed the love of Christ in that way. But I think they also understood that Christ was the only way to salvation. But still, I think the seed was there of maybe there's a little more that, you know, the cross couldn't cover, you know, cause so just to cover the bases, pray every night, ask forgiveness kind of situation. But never really explained clearly. You know, I think that's something that a lot of us have, if you've come out of church, then you realize the clarity of what you can get through understanding the Bible rightly divided can bring, as opposed to what you grew up in. But we did get married, and at that point it was like, okay, now I'm leading a family. I've got to do the thing and find a church. And so we found a little Baptist church there in Kokomo, Indiana, where nearby where we live, and quickly became a part of that. I think we were probably the youngest couple there at the time, so that defaulted us into youth pastor position, without question. And I also played guitar, so, you know, that had a lot to do with it. So, yeah, we took on the role of youth pastor, and then we had our daughter Coraline. And it was around that time that I, for whatever reason, got a hold of that Basics of Mid-Acts Dispensationalism book again. And so having aged a few years and now being responsible for a little family, I needed to understand what I believed and why. All along the way, seeing things happen and not understanding why and trying to place my faith in a confusing God that I didn't truly understand based on my circumstances. And you tend, when you're not in church, you tend to grow out of God. And I fear that we were on that path. So I'm glad we ended up in that little church because it forced me to ask some questions that I had never asked before. So I got a hold of that book, and I was working midnights at a sports club at that time, and I read through that book probably 8 times over in one shift, just sitting there reading through this book and just getting answers to these questions I didn't even know I had. And so, of course, I didn't have a Bible with me there, but throughout that following week, it was just digging and digging and digging and sharing this information with my wife and bouncing it off of her. And everything just clicked together for the things that were confusing to us, the things that we had never thought about. It was just an eye-opening experience with that little book. And so then I started talking to Justin a little bit more. We had sort of we started doing this guys' night Bible study where we were learning through Romans with him as kind of the leader with a group of other guys, maybe about 8 or 10 of us. And eventually we started going to that church on Tuesday nights and still staying as the youth pastor and teaching on Sundays and Wednesdays at that Baptist church. And of course that wouldn't last much longer. So sitting down with the pastor and having discussions and trying to figure out, you know, where are we going to land on this? Because the more you teach, the more you learn, and the more you learn, the more you divide. So it was kind of a no-brainer that it was time for us to leave that church when Coraline was maybe about 1 year old or something like that. And so we started attending Grace Ambassadors full-time there and got involved in the ministry and teaching a little bit, learning a lot, and just really grateful for what Justin has built there. And something that other churches can pattern themselves after, and the material he has created there is just so useful. Being a part of the county fairs in the summertime has been really great as far as reaching out into the community and letting them know that we're there. We've gotten a lot of great response from that. And recently we've been going just like door to door with little tract packets and knocking on people's doors, old-fashioned style, and we've gotten some good response from that as well. But I think the biggest thing for me and my family about traveling this road and ending where we have is peace, clarity, understanding, confidence, and intelligence. Something that you can share with people knowing what you're talking about rather than saying, well, I felt this way or I felt that way. And you might feel that same way. And you get those feelings, but it's from knowledge and understanding. It's not from music or lights like it was before. So I'm really grateful for Justin and what Steve's doing here. It's so nice to have a place to come now, you know, because like I was telling him earlier, we just stayed at my aunt and uncle's house and didn't go to church because there's nowhere that teaches this. Knowing now that you guys exist, this is fantastic. And it's good work being done here, and I commend you all for that. So thank you very much for letting me speak.